That's it.
It took me two or three meetings to figure
out. I know, we
were enjoying one of these.
Yeah, I know you were.
Killing myself.
How is it a bad chair and you need to get it replaced?
Yeah, you sink down in it. It's just a...
It has...
No wedding.
No, it's just the shock also a shot.
Oh, you just start going...
Yeah, you just kind of...
All right, Mac, have you got that back on?
Yes, I do.
Okay, we're going to come out of recess for lunch and go into our pre-lunch agenda, and we're on old business. If, Mac, you would like to start out.
Well, the first thing is I received an email from Tracy, and all of the kids that qualified for their past scholarships, all of the paperwork is in, all of their grades were in, everybody is reinstated. So we just need, I believe, a motion to approve those checks that will go out in the fall to the colleges that those kids are attending.
So you ready to make a motion?
I'm so moved, Mr. Chairman, that we pay. I'd make a motion that we allocate the money or take the money out of our account to pay the tuition for the students for their second semester.
The eligible students
for second semester.
Scholarship recipients.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any discussion? And you say everybody.
Everybody. Everybody that sent their letters, everything back. Yes.
So we're all good.
We're all good to go.
Okay. Yeah.
Good job, man.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, you did. Okay, we got a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. What else do you have for us?
I don't have anything else.
No,
well, I talked to the mayor, and the new mayor, welcome. I had a request about the ball fields. It's kind of gone in a circle from the rec board to the mayors to the town councils to back to the county commissioners. And I talked to the county attorney, and we have waivers here that I will pass out. And they have a volunteer group that's going to go out and go to work. As soon as I get back tonight, I'm going to call them and tell them, get after it. And hopefully they can get some work done, show a bunch of interest, get some kids playing out there, and then maybe by next year they'll have they'll be coming to your budget hearings for money. But right now we got to see if there's interest, because there hasn't been for quite some time. And that's
sure
too bad.
Be sure to invite them to the council meeting.
Yeah.
You know, because there has been discussion, like you say, ongoing for over a year now. And Marbleton supports it, but we'll just see in what degree and, you know, financially or physically or just whatever.
Well, and the nice part about it is we've got that walking path now that goes, a riding path that goes off. So the kids can get out there on their bikes. They are going to have to cross the highway, but, you know.
Well, where are the kids playing ball now?
LaBarge.
Okay. Now, is there any concerns with the volunteer help moving forward with this with regards to any of the structural stuff, be it water, electricity?
Well, I think that all comes with the liability aspect that they're going to sign here. And I'm going to tell them if we got a problem, then let me know, and then I'll see if we can get somebody.
Because there was last year's walkthrough, the toilets were gone. If I'm not mistaken, the sink fixtures were gone in one of the restrooms. There was quite a bit. And then in the concession area, there was still a half a thing of popsicle or, Tootsie Pop. When they walked away from it, evidently a few years ago, they walked away.
Yeah.
But the toilets were gone, so there's going to have to be some of that.
Sure.
Fixed and unclogged, just checked out. So.
There's nothing wrong with having a group of volunteers that wants to.
Well, no, and if they want to do that, we may have to go porta potties for a while.
Exactly.
Just to get it, if they want to start playing this year. Yeah. So we'll get it figured out.
Does it have its own septic system out there?
That's my understanding.
Yes, it
does. There's a vault or something out there.
Something. Okay.
Yep.
And a porta potty's no problem, as you guys have probably seen. We put that one there as the turn off.
Yeah.
And it's been used a lot. We never thought about it until this last year. And Diane McManus, she does started walking since she's retired from NAP, and says, it'd be nice to have one out there. And I never thought about it. And, yeah, it really gets utilized a lot now.
Well, your public restroom facility in Marlton is quite nice.
It is.
And I think it's quite used, too.
It is. Yeah. It's been really utilized well.
I've heard comments to that effect in terms of having one there. So, good deal.
I think the sad part is the state horseshoe tournament was out there 1 year at the ball fields.
Yeah.
That's how nice they were at one time.
Yeah.
And now they're just... Yeah, they've fallen on disrepair.
Donnie Colton, some of that
yes,
group were,
the old
were
days.
Really adamant about keeping that up to shape and really fixed. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can hope, like say, hope we can get it and with public support. We can revitalize it.
Sure.
Okay. Anything else,
good.
Matt?
That's it for me. Okay.
Commissioner Bowsman.
The Interior Department has restarted their planning process of rewriting the planning process as a result of the repeal of Planning 2.0, which Liz Cheney introduced the bill and I was there and all that stuff. And then now they're finally starting over again. This time they're assuring local and state governments that they will play a much greater role and have more input into it. The first webinar was last week, and I was on the webinar, so we'll see. But they're looking at tentatively having this done by about January of 2020, is the way they explain the process. So, yeah. So that's going on. The Forest Collaborative has got a meeting set now for the 18th, and I sent a follow-up email emphasizing to the Forest Service folks that we need some input from them in order to actually define a project, get some feedback as to what the status of NEPA would be, what has to be done there, and what the estimated cost of administration might be, so we can move towards having a discussion with the state forester and the governor and deciding how to get it done. So that's where that is. The only other thing I'd bring up, I think you all got an email about the NEPA training workshop in July, and I really hope a couple of commissioners besides me can attend that. It's pretty important because NEPA training is how we work with the BLM and Forest Service, and working with those federal agencies is critical to the custom and culture of our county. And I'm not going to be doing this forever. This will be the third one I've helped put on. I'm serving on one of the committees. Mike Hinn is, I think I'm on a BLM committee. Mike Hinn is on a Forest Service committee. It's like the 9th and 10th of July, right in there somewhere.
I don't know if it's 8th or 9th or 9th.
Yeah, I know the next day I leave for NACO, but anyway, I'm hoping that at least a couple of commissioners besides me can get registered and attend that. It'll be well worth your time. We got, I think CEQ will be there as well as the DC Office of Forest Service and BLM. And we've kind of collectively put this on, sponsored by WCCA. Conservation districts will be there as well. They're always invited. So it'll be a pretty informative couple of days.
Okay.
That's all I have.
There are, of course, summer's a busy time when various people schedule meetings all over. There's also going to be a meeting at that time in Lander, I think on the day before, and I'll get to this in a minute, but that...
Migration.
Yes, the migration quarter.
There's an effort being made as we speak to change something there to where they don't overlap.
Do you know if they're still going through with the planned meeting they have for Rock Springs next week?
I just got
notice that they were going to do it. They didn't know where. It was going to be the 26th and the 27th.
That's all
27th, 28th. Okay.
So I don't know if they've got it.
Because I did notice that they're having three meetings, Rock Springs, Lander, and then Pinedale in August.
Right.
And that meeting did conflict with that NEPA.
Right.
Okay. Thanks, Commissioner Bowsman. Commissioner Vickery. Good. Just been dealing with budget. That's what I got to say.
Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner.
You've got to keep an eye on Jim.
Commissioner Noble.
So just as I talked to Doug Lynn yesterday. He's now the acting manager of the BLM office here for the next 4 months. That was their decision. He asked that we all change from Caleb's email to his. If you would add him to the breakfast email list, if we ever get to that.
We're having breakfast next, Tuesday. Before next.
So he's meeting. He would be the correspondent for that now.
Will you send me his contact information?
I can. And in other meeting, talking with him, he's helping with the green site, facilitate those meetings to get the green site done. That's moving along very well on the BLM's end of it. Still working through the power situation. We'll get there.
Green site. What
are we for the tower.
For the older tower.
Yeah, the tower. The, what do they call it? Lumen?
Lumen site. Yeah.
Lumen site.
Okay. Yeah.
And broadband, there will be a public meeting the 26th from 6 to 8, and then the groundbreaking the following morning. I think it would be great if everybody could make it to the public meeting to see Union's build-out plans. They're pretty impressive.
And that's going to be at the Lovett Room?
Lovett Room in the library, yes.
Okay. Groundbreaking?
Groundbreaking. It'll be just right out of town. They're going to go both directions from there, coming into town and going for Rock Springs.
Yeah, okay.
So the big machines will leave that way and the little ones will come in.
Perfect.
You think you plan on being there?
I'm going to try.
Okay. I am too. I look forward to talking to you with them.
All the state elected officials, we haven't got a confirmation from any of them yet. May or may not show up. It's hard to tell. That's it, Mr. Chairman.
The only other thing I would add is that the plan is for Commissioner Rawhauser and I to go to Rock Springs on the 27th, 28th for this migration corridor in attendance. We don't have a seat at the table in terms of the governor's advisory committee, but would like to see how that is going to play out, what the ground rules are, what the discussion is, and my plan is to try to make at least two of those three meetings, which, like I said, there's one in Rock Springs in June. There's one scheduled tentatively in Lander on the 8th, and then there's one in Suffolk County, I think, on August 12th. But other than that, and working very diligently on budget, that's all I have to report.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Who all was appointed to that committee?
I do not know.
Does anybody?
We saw the list came out.
Did we? I must have.
The county rep is
John Espy.
John Espy.
I just didn't know who else made it.
Mike Smith's on it, I know. Okay. From Gavin Fish Commission.
Yeah, I got emails, got all those names.
Yeah, I don't recall.
How big did the group end up being? 5, 7?
Something like that. Okay. I thought I forwarded it.
You could have. You could have.
I think I did.
Could have overlooked it.
I think I sent it to everybody.
I plan on seeing who's there next week.
If they don't have a big old title, sometimes they don't survive.
Well, I'll be in the audience. Anything else for old business? Am I overlooking anything on the agenda as far as I know from this morning? We've already covered public comments when nobody was here, so we're past that, so we're ready to go on with our... We'll cover it again if you want to. But right now, our 1 o'clock agenda item is to meet with the mayors and the airport board. So if you guys would like to find room up at the table, we welcome you up. And we, just for introduction.
Is this the broken one? Buck me off?
You can get on your knees.
No, you'll just look like you're down here at the kitty table.
There's a chair for you right there in the corner.
I'm used to it in the corner.
Does everybody know everybody?
I'll hold on. So don't get you.
Just for the sake of the press, would you just please introduce yourselves? And
Phil Stevens with Big Piney Airport.
Jill Robinson, Marbleton, Mayor.
Tyler Maxfield, Big Piney Mayor. Okay.
Thank you guys for coming. So I guess we are here to discuss, to see options on the airport board's request for our budget was for $48,000 for an FBO. So I think what's open for discussion, number one, is that what's really needed? Do we need to evaluate further to see what else may be needed? And then the final big question is, how are we going to pay for it? So I don't know who would like to start. I don't know, Phil, if you would.
Yeah. I don't mind. Basically, I've been on the board for about 7 years now, and it's been just all volunteer at the airport. So, I mean, the volunteers, we do the plowing of the snow, we do the mowing of the lawn, the mowing of the weeds. And so as the board members, we kind of got together, it's like, is this really what a board needs to be doing?
Yeah.
So basically what we're looking for is some help as far as, you know, for the maintenance around the airport. What would really be, and the reason we brought forth the $48,000 was so we could possibly attract an FBI, a fixed base operator, to come in and start running the airport. And we've had some interest from two different people. One was a general manager, and he has a lot of experience. He's been Scottsdale, Arizona, run that airport, been Jackson, run that airport. But I don't think that's what we need. I think we need like an IA mechanic to come into the airport where he's actually bending wrenches and fixing airplanes and things like that, which would draw, a good mechanic will draw in his customers. And so we're just kind of brainstorming, thinking that's kind of the path that we'd like to go. And we do have one that is interested. He builds aircraft engines, and he's very reputable. And but when we were talking to him, what we had nothing to offer other than the building, the fuel sales and things like that. And that wasn't enough for him to make the move, type thing. So that's where we thought, well, if we kind of sweeten the pot with a little something, maybe we get somebody in to actually run it. What I'd like to see, or what we'd like to see, is like an IA, an authorized inspector, mechanic, and then / manager, so he could do the whole thing.
Okay. So I have a couple of questions, but okay. I want to make a couple of comments first.
Okay.
Number one, you guys have had your plates full for some time in terms of maintaining and operate that airport. It is a layboard. You're running on basically two legs short now, or two cylinders short. And your own term is going to be up for renewal in November.
Yes.
And so you basically have a five-man board that you're currently operating, one by a recent death and one by somebody moving out of the area.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I'd like to say is we recognize how critical an airport and its operations are to the Marlton Big Piney area. Very critical for emergency services, medical services, and so on. And so we'd like to have a discussion and try to come up with some ideas that we can best move forward to try to alleviate some of your burdens, I guess. So one question I would have, number one, is the position that you need, and you just touched on it at the end of your conversation, somebody that would be manager too. Do you need somebody that's going to be able to come in and help you with an FBO and as a manager of the airport? Because they're two different positions. And I guess if we want to try to get somebody in here, ideally you'd get somebody that could handle both of them.
Yes.
Because you can't very well succeed with an FBO without a manager, and you can't succeed with a manager without the FBO.
Agreed.
So the next question is, is $48,000 reasonable?
We did kind of a survey of the state. I mean, that's on the low end, you know. I mean,
is it going to be enough to attract somebody with not only the prerequisites that you're looking at, but somebody that can come in and take care of both of those entities? I mean, both of those positions.
That's a good question. I feel. If it was a new IA just kind of getting out on his own.
And IA is what?
Authorized inspector. So okay. He's the mechanic, but he is authorized to sign off anything.
Right.
Okay. So you have an A&P, and then you have an A&P with his IA. And so if it was somebody just kind of breaking out, just got his IA, then that, to me, that would be very attractive. But if 48's enough, I felt by us kind of working the numbers as far as, because we sold about 30,000 in fuel. If they had the fuel sales, and if they had and no rent on the place, plus 48, that's a pretty good chunk of change.
Yeah.
To me. Yeah. But would it be attractive? That I haven't really tested the water, you know, to approach, or we just have the one that we would fit the bill. But I asked him, well, what is it going to take to get here, you know, and he just.
Yvonne, okay. You had a question, comment?
My understanding is it would not be enough to do both. So I think the 48 was basically for FBO. Mm-hmm. He did not want to manage it. This one person, Phil, speaking of, I think at 48 he was very willing to come in to be the FBO.
But not the manager.
And he's a mechanic. And
does such a person exist that would do both?
Oh, yeah. Oh, as far as managing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve Good out of Douglas. Douglas has a manager / FBO.
Is there any consideration, I don't know if there's a possibility or not, but is there any consideration you could get help with the managing portion of it, or even the FBO from Pinedale Airport?
We have approached, and they were interested initially, but they haven't recently, no.
Okay. Commissioners, questions?
I guess a question I keep coming back to, I can remember 10 years ago when 12 years ago, when you had an FBO.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember his name, but anyway, it seemed to be working. But what would it take, or is it even feasible, to consider bringing somebody in that could help, as a community, help the community define what would it take in the community to make it a productive place for an FBO? In other words, you've got to increase fuel sales, you've got to get more people landing more planes, mm-hmm. It's got to get busier.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could figure out what that would take, then the FBO would take care of itself. I mean, there'd be people say, hey, I wouldn't mind coming in there and making some money,
right.
Or the manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep coming back to thinking, just hiring an FBO, it might be money better spent if there's such a person out there, to hire somebody that can tell you what needs to be done to build the operation, so you can do something temporary in order to start building things up to where you can attract an FBO and make it a money-making airport.
There is one that I've been communicating with since we were doing the master plan. His name is Rick Crossman, and I've talked to him, and he is willing to, you know, talk to anybody that would like to discuss with him. But he has, for lack of better words, he's kind of a FBO or a general manager airport headhunter. So he goes around and he'll approach people and try to.
So he might help you with the recruitment end of it, but he's not going to help you with the marketing end of it.
He's very good at that. From my understanding, he had taken, and I don't remember the airport in Colorado, but he brought it up to, or it was kind of like ours, but he brought it up to thousands of gallons, hundreds of thousands of gallons a year in fuel sales now. So what he does and how he does it, I don't know, but he was on that when we did the master plan for the airport 3-4 years ago. But he was on that team at that time, and I talked to him, you know, occasionally throughout, and he's willing to help us or in any way we
Does it make sense in your mind that that could be a starting place?
But there's a, I mean, there, I'm sure there's a fee charge.
He hasn't at this stage, we need to approach
him. In terms of recruitment, headhunter, whatever.
Yeah.
But, just for a bug, you pay that part of it, but then you still have to come up with what's going to be a salary, a subsidy for the salary, as well as finding a person that can do both ends of the operation. Okay, LaVon?
I think he doesn't just do the head hunting, he also helps get it promoted to bring in more business.
And that would be crucial.
He does both, I believe. And the other thing, the other FBO that was there before, he wasn't a mechanic, he was more like a manager. And I think that was one of the downfalls to him specifically as an FBO. He couldn't do the mechanic and work. I think their hope was that he would teach flying lessons and bring income that way, but wasn't able to. So that kind of makes a differential in there.
But we did have an FBO out of Gillette that was in there. It was prior to me being on the board, but I think they're paying him like $4,500 a month, something like that. And they came in and asked for more, and I guess the board just didn't have the money. Were you around at that time, Mel?
What's that, Mel?
When no. The no. FBO, no.
Why did you laugh?
Yeah. They just couldn't afford them, and that's where we ended up. We're doing it now.
They left because they couldn't afford to pay more money, correct?
I wasn't on the board then. The initial concept of this, when we built the hangar, was to bring an FBO in that would actually rent the hangar to do work in. And our hopes at that time was that the oil field would fill in on that. That didn't happen. The Gillette outfit was associated with the oil field, and we thought, at least I thought, that they would bring some of that work to the Piney Airport. But they didn't initially get Gillette. They got Joe involved in here, and that goes back to personnel and stuff. But the whole idea of this thing is to try and get somebody to come in here that already has a business built up that people will follow them. And there are mechanics out there that have a very strong clientele that they'll take their airplane a lot of miles to get it done properly. That's the problem, and we haven't been able to find that person. And getting back to the manager, yes, that's generally two separate positions. You've got an airport manager that generally takes care of all the snow removal, all the grass work, they get the grants and all that stuff. Where the FBO operator strictly services the flying personnel. They come in, give them fuel, flight planning help, so forth and so on, do the maintenance if they have a breakdown and so forth and so on. We have not been able to attract that kind of people to the airport at this time. And like Phil says, the only way that we can do that is to get somebody, as we call a headhunter, that can find somebody like that to come in. I was reading some information on the Rock Springs Airport, and they brought a manager in there out of New Jersey, I believe, that they did have somebody out recruiting him, and they brought him in there. And in his case, he was from New Jersey. Why would he want to be in Wyoming? But the point is that once he got out here, he really accepted this, and he's very comfortable out here. It's just finding the right person to do this. In the meantime, we've got volunteers doing everything out there. We could use help in the winter, clearing the runways, mowing the grass, help with the water, trimming and all that stuff, and maybe the two towns could do something in there. But as I've told everybody, I don't really understand
what our role is in running that airport, as far as we were just supposed to be advisories, and that the other people are supposed to come in and do it.
I understand. You're the governance. Commissioner Vickery, you had a question?
Well, comment? Yeah, I can sympathize with the problem. But I think that initially, number one, if you're going to get somebody, as you say, that has a following, they've got to come in here knowing, yeah, once I get there, I'm going to be able to make a go of it. And the following aside, it's going to need that startup money, so to speak, I think. And I don't know, I'm sitting around here thinking in Sutherland County, $48,000 to get a startup deal is going to starve you to death for a little while. So I think, in my mind at least, the startup money has to be a little bit more to attract, make that first attraction. And I don't know where that's at, but $48,000 to me, in this day and age, when I was growing up, it was a lot of money. Today, it's hardly anything. So I think that's where you got to start. If you're going to bring somebody in, and a new person, as you said, comes in, he doesn't have a following. So for sure, he's got to have more than that $48,000. And the older established guy or gal brings their following with them. But after they spend a winter in downtown Big Piney, 50 or 60 below, that might go away. You know, so those are the things, realistically, those are the things you gotta bring the right guy in. He's gotta have a hat looks like he come from Alaska. and then there he goes.
He can borrow mine.
Well, my thoughts are moving forward. Probably the best approach to take is to have you, pending the commissioner's approval, go out and pursue with this recruiter to see what's out there, to see what's available. And at the same time, in that process, of course, he's going to be interested in looking at the market and developability and sustainability and so on. So that's one end of it, rather than just saying, here's 48 grand, go try to find the best you can. Let's try to define what we need, what's out there, and then how much is it going to cost.
Gotcha.
With regards to the cost, I would hope that when we get to that point, we can have that discussions with the towns in terms of supplemental support, depending on the amount of that, because it's critical to the towns, it's critical to the county. Now, having said that, I would hope that there would be some type of way that you can intervene and help with all the maintenance part things of it, whether it's cutting the grass or using a snow plow or whatever, not just for the monetary end of it, but for the sake of the backs of these volunteer board members that are having to get out there and do it. I'd like to see that we have some way of getting some immediate relief. Or I don't know that Mr. Stevens will run again.
They've been very receptive. I mean, when we talked to them this year, they've been very, very receptive. And I've talked to Todd and showed him, and I just haven't got back.
So I'd like to give the mayors an opportunity, if you have any comments or suggestion points, to please join the discussion.
Yeah, I've visited with Matt a little bit, and I know Todd has with Phil. And Marbleton and my council is very receptive to initiating these talks. Marbleton, and this is mostly me speaking, but I think feel the same mindset. We didn't want to go in there and have our maintenance and our summer help and whatever take over if that was going to cost someone else a job. If there was a contractor doing it other than the board, and I know you guys have a part-time office manager or something, I didn't know if they had other people contracted, because there is some companies around that mow and do such as that.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could help, financially encourage that as, you know, the third party taking it over and still get, you know, someone else employed instead of Marbleton having another full-time employee, I think we would be more receptive to that, you know. And that's what I think I've obligated Marbleton to after budget season, which is tonight's our final budget. Getting together with the board and looking at the books and you know, discussing it with Big Piney as you got just sworn in and such as that. So that's on our agenda as soon as, again, after tonight, to get this board together with the two towns and sit down with your books and say, you know, are you paying anybody? If not, what can we get it done third party? To me, that's the best way, I think, for us to go, since, you know, I don't want to obligate more Marbleton people out there plowing snow, you know, and then I feel then we're going to end up with, well, you should plow Marbleton first. That's a full-time Marbleton employee, and you know, instead of the airport. And so if we can keep it somewhat separate, or if we do end up joining the whole thing under the two towns instead of a joint port, power port or whatever, I think some of those questions can be answered.
But that's what we talked about, the same thing is where it gets priority on plowing, do our bus routes get plowed, does the airport get plowed? So I think that'd be a good discussion for all of us, and then also filling in with the mowing and that. I mean, if there's nobody out there other than you guys mowing, our summer help could definitely help out or fill in where we need to.
And we've had real good success at the senior housing, as you guys have, I'm sure, seen over there with third party and that, mowing and plowing and stuff. And it's kept some other jobs around the community. So.
Are there any provisions currently where you, if you needed emergency plowing, like you had to get a life flight in there, that we could somehow manage to take care of clearing the airport so that aircraft could get in?
We are asking, we always do, yeah.
Okay, so you're doing that now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we have to go out at 3 a.m. to make sure it's ready in case a lifelight comes.
That's what I was getting.
Yes,
you're doing it. Yeah.
We did, yeah.
Great volunteer work, guys.
Yeah, it's big.
It's big, right?
And you're not even on the board. But your husband and daughter are.
I would like to recognize Mel and Lamont. I know they both put in tons of hours at this too. Maybe. I mean,
yes.
They're not up there talking, but I know you guys. Yeah. See that too. So,
well, when it comes to the plowing in the winter, there is things you have to go through to get out on the runway. You don't just drive out there and do it. You have to notify the FAA that this is happening and so forth and so on. There has to be some knowledge of what airport operations.
And we have had planes come in as we were exiting or getting ready to start. Have no idea. They didn't even call on the radio.
Yeah.
And snow flying everywhere and
pretty sporty.
You better keep that Alaska hat.
So my question is to the two mayors. The Pinedale situation, of course, is they have the airport and they manage it. Is that something that you guys would have to show any interest in? Is that model of situation? Because I know in the commissioners support that by matching all the grants and supporting it through that match money and things like that. Does that interest the two towns at all as an option?
I think, you know, Marbleton has tried to be built on a community service, and I think the council I presently have is more than willing to look at anything, you know, to see if it benefits the community or our town and the county and the area. So I think that
might be an option.
I think that's what they would like to sit down with the board. And I know several of my council members in the past have been board members and such as that, with MAC and such. So I think it's definitely a possibility. I won't say yes
sure.
or no, but they're definitely willing to take a look at this. And
yeah, I think that's good. Well, and then like you discussed with the headhunter, let's see what they go and what they decide that. Because maybe we're a little different. I mean, it's a little easier to draw somebody to Pinedale than it is to Big Piney.
Sure.
Sometimes, so
there's a lot more traffic over here.
If they get.
Well, are we good to move forward with the possibility or the direction for you to contact this individual and try to get an idea in terms of what he anticipates his recruitment headhunting cost to be? And then present that back to us in our July 2nd meeting. Because we have budget coming up, our next meeting is July 2nd.
Sure.
It would give us not only maybe help with direction, but certainly help with cost of what we're going to need to be doing, because right now we have your request on the table.
Mr. Chairman, if you hired an FBO officer / manager, whichever, would they be a county employee, or would they be employed by the the towns?
It'd be the owners of the airport.
Joint Powers Board.
The Joint Powers Board as it exists right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm thinking of fringe benefits.
Of what?
Fringe benefits. Because that's going to be the first thing somebody talks about is, am I going to get health insurance for myself and my family if I come? And that's huge. Even maybe more than this salary. But I'm with Commissioner Vickery, $48,000. We have people at the landfill making 60. And so it, you know, something will, I believe would have to be upped. And I think your headhunter is going to say that also, that you're going to have to increase it. But then I think Mel's got a very, very good point that in a perfect world, find the guy that brings the people with him. And they'll fly here to get their airplanes fixed.
That makes the upfront money cheap. If you get somebody, pretty soon you don't have to pay them anymore because they're off and going.
Yeah, it would be more or less from the standpoint of a subsidy to get the person started, and it would depend on a salary amount, how that subsidy works. But
moving.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the starting point, though, is trying to get in touch with this individual, see what he can do and what can you follow up with us. And, you know, if you don't want to be present at the meeting to present that, you can email it to me. I can present it however you want to do with your schedule.
Fantastic. I'll do that.
Anything else? Any other comments from the commissioners?
Is there, I know the airport board is short of people. There's two positions.
Yes.
Do we need to concentrate on trying to recruit somebody to fill those?
Literally one.
You're on the board.
I am.
Your daughter's on the board.
Yes.
But your wife's not.
she said she didn't want anything to do with it. We do have one filling Rod's position.
Oh, you do?
Yes, yes. They've turned in a resume. And
good.
And yeah, we had one step up this last meeting this last week. So
very good.
The town accepted that.
And then so you'll turn that into us.
Is it the county appointed one that's still open then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know it was open. So I've been communicating with that person up until probably 2 weeks ago and getting decisions from him on things we do.
Yeah.
So
we need to get somebody appointed, I guess.
Yeah, from the county. Sure. Okay.
Doc.
Yes.
Let's go back to the Joint Powers Board situation for a minute. We talk about Pinedale and Big Piney, and they're completely different in as much as Pinedale owns the airport here, and they have a Joint Powers Board that does the FBO stuff, whereas in our situation, the Joint Powers Board owns the airport, is my understanding. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. In Pinedale's situation, they used talking about employees and stuff like that. See, that's a town employee that they employ out there as the manager. And I would assume that he would be part of the town's employee, where they'd have benefits, they'd have insurance, all that stuff. I'm not sure in our situation, if we hired a manager, that he would be an employee of anything other than a contract employee.
So probably. I think you're correct.
Benefits would be inclusive in that stuff. He would be on his own. And that's where the difference is between the two towns is a Joint Powers Board. Now, I've brought this up before. If all the members of the Joint Powers Board quit, who would run that airport? See, there's no owner, per se, to fall back on, unless it would be the two towns would have to furnish people to fill those vacancies, I assume, and the county would have to. But there's actually nobody there to assume responsibility for the ownership of the thing.
Well, that could be solved if the Joint Powers Board and the two towns agreed to take ownership of the airport, then we could give it to you.
And I don't know what that would take.
That was this board right here.
You guys want it?
Board.
You guys for a motion? Yeah. Yeah. So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Wow. That's the whole point of this meeting, as far as I'm concerned, is get the two towns involved and get one or the both entities to get involved with the actual ownership of the airport and just be the Joint Powers Board to be the advisory part of it and help get the FBO operation, because the manager and the FBO operation are actually two separate, completely different operations. Now, trying to combine the two together would be wonderful, but I don't know if it would ever happen. Well, especially, I think the manager in Findell, they were paying him close to $60,000 a year, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Huh. My understanding is that was his only job for the town of Findell.
That's right.
That's just my understanding.
That's what he did. He took care of the airport. He was responsible for applying for grants, keeping the snow removal equipment up, keeping the runways plowed, keeping the grounds clean, all that stuff. And that was his, but he was a trained manager. What I mean by that, there are people out there that go to school to become managers of airports, because there's a lot of knowledge that you have to deal with the FAA for a flight. Oh, there's LaVon can attest to that. There's regulations in order to build like this storage for right. our equipment. Good grief. Now, if in the real world, I'd just go out and build it and suffer the consequences, but that's not the way it's done nowadays. You have to comply with all that.
And Matt, most FBOs that we've spoke to, they do not want to manage. You know, that's without the headhunter helping broaden our search. But everybody we've talked, they don't want to do both. It's kind of counterproductive for them.
Commissioner Noble, so just the town of Pine Hills is currently under talks about dissolving their joint powers board for the airport. They're just going to run it through their council. And I think that their FBO is contracted, so I don't know if they have a specific employee out there. He's just contracted.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% sure of that. I don't think it would hurt to follow up on that conversation.
Is that Jillian?
And that would give us a better comparison. We can't compare Pinedale to Big Piney by any means. The fuel sales alone is significantly different.
Significant.
But it wouldn't hurt to understand their inner workings a little more.
Exactly.
I don't know who. I feel like there's some action items here that we're overlooking. I don't know what those are. But if we're going to move forward with this before budget, we need to have all the options in front of us.
Well, we're not taking any action today.
It's hard to without all the information.
The starting point, I think, is trying to talk to this recruiter, headhunter guy, and go from there.
Got it.
Hopefully we'll stimulate or have stimulated the conversation between the two mayors in terms of possibly pursuing that option going down the road in terms of ownership. I think that would be, Mel's right in a sense of who's responsible for the operation. And I go back to the beginning comment I made. It's such a critical service to not only the county, but specifically the Marbleton and Big Piney, that, what do we do if we don't have not only the members of the Joint Powers Board that want to participate, but we don't have enough volunteer members for the airport board? So we've got to be looking at something that's going to be a more viable, sustainable measure in the future. And those are valid considerations, but that's going to be up to you two guys to discuss. I think the starting point would be, what does the guy say? What does he think we need? What is he? And you can broaden the scope of that to look at town ownership of the facility, the manager, FBO/manager, whatever. That's what we're looking at in terms of not throwing money at a one-time fix for this this upcoming year. I want to look at something to try to solve the problem that you've been under for quite some time now.
Mr. Chairman, yes. So as I understand the conversation, reality, the best fix is to have two people. An airport manager and an FBO, is that not right?
Sure,
that's true.
So it would appear to me then the headhunter needs to be looking for two heads rather than one.
Unless he can
would
find the guy with two heads.
Unless you can find the guy with two heads.
Yeah.
All right. So I would think that would be the instructions, basically, yeah. Is we're looking for those one two-headed person,
yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah, or two one-headed people. Right. So if you could get that and I'll give me that. Some follow-up so that I can... Either you can present or I can share for July 2nd.
Okay.
We'll go from there. And hopefully you can continue this conversation with the two mayors. And thank you for both taking your time to come present this to us.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments left from these gentlemen?
Not at this time.
Thank you for your volunteer work. Yes. Sincerely. Sincerely.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate
it. Thanks.
See ya.
See ya.
Good luck, Tyler.
Yeah. First one tonight.
That new.
Yeah.
Call Thank tomorrow. Yeah. Let us know.
Okay.
Well, are you Mike?
Yes, I am.
You want to go early?
Sure. Sure.
Guys, we're...
You're doing me a favor by opening the door for me. I appreciate
then
that.
Then come on up.
Thank you. I only had two handouts, two copies rather, because my printer ran out of ink, so I'll put one at each end.
Okay.
That's a letter that we sent off to...
Stand or seat, whatever you want to do. It's up to you.
Okay. Well, that's a letter that, a copy of the letter that my wife did for Miss Frank at the oil and gas lease office, and she... sent that off just this afternoon. I wanted to give you a copy so that you can see what our communication with them so far. She said that was the first step we needed to take with them. Kind of what I guess first off, what I'd probably like to start off with, and I'll make this as quick and painless as possible for everybody, me in particular, is that the state's way of notifying people in the impacted communities is kind of crazy. They run an ad. They're only obligated to run one ad 30 days before the auctions come up for bid. They run it in the Casper paper. And if you don't happen to live someplace where you can get a Casper paper, you're kind of SOL, unless you're watching the website. I think what they should do is they should change that to notify the communities impacted, in particular the areas where the leases are coming up for auction. That to me seems like the more logical way to go ahead and handle this, so that people aren't notified at the last minute, or at least are notified at some point. Now, that being said, that's a whole other issue that you fellows don't have anything to do with anyway, I understand. The other thing is that I try and just kind of be brief on what our concerns are. Our concerns, to be perfectly blunt, is water contamination, water problems down the road. We live in a parcel that's coming up for auction, parcel number 188. It's approximately 240 acres. There's, in that 240 acres, there's a, I'm looking for the total acreage that we have that's actually privately owned by individual homes or businesses. I know Bumgars is in one of the parcels. The Wind Riverview RV Park is involved in our parcel 188. Big River Estates, which is where we reside, that's 103 acres, I believe. That's involved. There are approximately six homes in that Wind River Estates. There's another two homes across the highway that are in that 188. None of these people were aware of what was going on, or the possible impacts that this drilling is going to go ahead and have. I went in and I talked to a couple of people. We've talked to them at the office that's in charge of all the leasing. They've assured us that, you know, they go down 1,800, 2,000 feet before they turn the augers and start going directionally or vertically. My fear, as always, is going to be when there's you're punching down through that strata, and I know that they said that there's a shale formation that's between where they're actually going to be extracting and the water. But you, as well as I know, that you know anything could happen. They won't issue a guarantee stating that they're not. They guarantee that we're not going to have a water problem down the road because they couldn't. I guess what I'm here to concern, or what I'm kind of concerned about again, is just water contamination. And we're actually trying to go ahead. We put a stop to this once before when they came out to do seismic testing in 2004. And they were down illegally on Sally Swift's property, setting out markers to go ahead and put their seismic judge. And that's all swamp and live water that actually drains into the New Fork. And they were going to go ahead and do this surface test. And they didn't even bother going ahead and pulling permits. It took us getting on them. So it's kind of been a deal that we've, you know, we almost have to be there, be in their face to go ahead and keep them honest. I know that they say that they're trying to be open and above board, but the reality is they don't. So there's a lot of people involved in this. And I think what we're trying to do is we're just trying to bring some, I guess, some attention to this so that the people in the local community understand what's going on. If this is more an informational item for you fellows, so that I don't know that you guys can actually do anything about this. I don't expect that you can, but my hope was that appearing here at the meeting, we could go ahead and maybe hit the newspaper. Somebody would go ahead and become aware, and I think that there's more strength in voices. The more voices we have, the more likely we are to keep these guys honest. And like I said, I'm not insinuating,
right?
But it's been our experience in the past that if they can cut a corner, they will.
So regardless of the process in terms of how that's advertised, I guess they still are in compliance with their statutory requirements.
Yes.
So
all they have to do is notify in print. You know, so, I mean, they could have put it the Penny Saver and they would have been in compliance.
Well, maybe not the Penny Saver, but published.
Any published.
So that part's been done.
Right.
Is there a comment period that you're allowed?
Well, that's already all passed. What's going on now is they've already decided. Supposedly there is somebody that screens these properties to make sure that there isn't going to be any complications with private land and all that, but because now the directional drilling, there's basically zero land impact or zero surface impact, because from the way it was explained to me is they're going to be coming in off the mesa where there are already pads, down underneath, and then when they get down low enough, they'll go underneath and across the river, and they can go all the way and tap in all the way on the other side of the highway. I believe that they're, from what I understand, I don't know if it's for sure, but 2 miles is how far they can go with directional drilling. So I don't know that we can stop it, but we can sure make them comply. And I'd like to hopefully go ahead and get somebody from these guys that are doing the bidding to find out what their actual game plan is so that we can, you know, kind of not really oversee, but at least make sure that they're complying with all the regulations that the state's put forth, you know, in their gold book.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, why is it the state?
These are state land leases.
Well, so the pads are on state land?
No, the pads are up here on the mesa. They've already got those. Those are in.
So it's private surface they're drilling under, and the state owns the lease, the mineral rights? How did that...
Yeah, I've never seen that myself.
Well, we don't own the mineral rights to our ground. We own all the surface rights, but we don't own the mineral rights.
Usually in that case, the federal government owns the mineral rights.
Well, the state's handling
this. But in this, that's what's confusing to me. So why is it the state that's handling it if it's not state minerals?
Must be some state school section there somewhere.
Well, there's only that one state school section down here south of town, just by the airport, just south of the airport. Mm-hmm. But this is going to affect, I'm trying to think where that, I wished I had my other map. I have another copy, a printout of the sections that are actually involved. And I know that Dennis
Forstrom
has copies of that map, and he has the parcels already all mapped out and sectioned off. So
so they auction off, I'm sorry, but they auction off the state land. The state supposedly owns the mineral rights, like where we're living, because we don't. And they have this 240-acre parcel, and that's the one that we're concerned about. Well, we're concerned about all of them, but this is all over Wyoming. They do this twice a year. They're obligated to put it in the Casper paper and at their website, which had a friend not been looking at something else and notified us, and it's not on my radar. So that these parcels are auctioned off for exploration. And from what we understand, yes, the well pads are over the river, and we are down on the New Fork, both sides. You know, it's a sanctuary down there, but we know that, you know, the well pads on the other side are operating. These parcels are being auctioned off for, we don't know who, well, companies, to see if they think, you know, they're going to do exploration to find out if there is, in fact, if it's lucrative to drill down from the other side and directional, you know, come underneath the river.
I think the two that are involved, I don't mean to interrupt, just PEP and Ultra.
Yeah. So our concern is if they put this out a month before this auction takes place, and, you know, probably you guys didn't know that this was happening, and so we wouldn't have known until some big truck comes rolling down our road, or, you know, we get notified if they even have to do that with directional drilling. We've also been told that maybe it won't even happen because maybe it's not lucrative in that area. But that is the watershed for, I mean, the bench above us where the campground is, all the way down to the river and even across the highway is the New Fork watershed. So obviously our concern is what happens if something happens. And nobody has, I asked this woman, Sherry Frank, well, who is it that goes around and decides, well, that looks like a good piece of land? And she said, well, I can't tell you that. I'd have to check with my supervisor to release that information. But at this point, it really doesn't matter. We now know that you go to that website, you click on the link, maps come up, you can satellite in on these maps and see the homes and businesses that are being affected that don't know. And, you know, I was saying to Michael yesterday, I feel like I need to start knocking on doors, but we just feel like it should be made. They have done their due diligence, you're right. They've done what they're supposed to do, but people don't know. Right. And it would be nice to know what we're faced with. Unfortunately, we don't own the mineral rights. Even Sally Swift didn't own the mineral rights, and our land shares a common fence line with hers down there. But the wildlife regulations, I mean, there's a lot of regulations that need to be followed. And
yeah, they had an area blocked off down there off of Paradise Road that because of wildlife eagles, the raptor nesting and all that sort of
2008,
stuff.
2008, they had.
It was all blocked off. They couldn't do anything down there. Well, now because of the directional drilling, they can go ahead and do that from a mile away and still not affect any of that nesting. And, you know, like I understand, and that's okay. I know that they've got to go ahead and drill, but I just want to make sure that everything's done responsibly. It's been our experience, as I said in the past, that whenever we had anything to do with, well, Veritas was the company that was coming down to do the seismic testing, that they were doing a lot of stuff that was illegal. They had things mapped out for seismic jars. They put down 15 pounds of charge, 75 feet in the ground. They backfill it with that goo, that plastic mud, and then they go ahead and set this off, and they take a picture. They can't do that around live water. You can't do it within 300 feet of any buildings or quarter mile of any buildings and 300 feet of any live water. Anyway, they were down in live water setting up to go ahead and drill and put these charges down. And it took us going down and complaining to get it stopped. I just want to make sure that we don't see the same sort of shortcuts there happen here, where not only would we have to worry about just the seismic testing, but our drinking water being contaminated. I mean, you know, we've all seen it happen or heard about it in Pavilion and Rifle, Colorado. You know, there's numerous other communities that have had problems, and I don't want to wait until it becomes an issue to go ahead and complain or try and do something about it.
So I guess in terms of any oversight, that's beyond, our purview, but I do appreciate you coming forth and giving us your concerns, and not only that, but giving you the opportunity to express those publicly. So I don't know what to tell you moving forward in terms of how to try to get the word out in terms of follow-up to see that the regulations are being followed, but at least you've had the opportunity to put it out there publicly.
You did, and I want to thank all of you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Phillips.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, gosh, no. No problem. I appreciate you guys giving us a platform here so we can get out there.
Okay.
I'll see you later.
Thank you.
You guys have a nice...
Yes, please do. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
We're not required.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Take a deep breath.
Who owns the mineral rights? Under private property, it can't be the state, can it? It's got to be one of the past landowners, whoever owned it before Phillips.
Right.
And if they've already leased the minerals.
If there was a case where the state owned it, say, and usually a former, like a state school section, for example, the state would own the minerals. But I don't know of any examples where those have been subdivided and become private.
That's what I'm saying. I can't.
Are you aware of any, Doug?
I'm not.
It's contrary to the state structure. You know, the school sections are to maximize revenue to the school, and very, very seldom.
Whoever's.
They sold some of those around Jackson for development. But I don't know of any in Sullivan County that the state has actually sold school ground.
I don't know.
So I suspect it's federal minerals, private surface.
Say that again.
I think federal minerals, private surface is what I would guess.
But it had to be.
But
unless previous,
I could be wrong.
Can we take?
Yeah, we'll take a short break.
I don't know. I've got some private minerals. I wouldn't mind having them. Drill private well
to
see what was down there.
Well, I don't blame you.
They're only 15 miles from me. Maybe they'll just keep on going.
But new technology.
Yeah.
You know, I understand their concerns. I've often wondered about when you're drilling horizontal, what are you going to run into? Where's the aquifers? What if you hit a flow of gas and or oil here? Comes up here and it fissures right straight up. I mean, those are unknowns, really, I think.
Absolutely. They're legitimate concerns.
Yeah, it would be. Absolutely, it would be. I'd like to see whoever drove those stakes in Sally Swift's backyard visit with her when that came about.
You know, they're doing that in Sweetwater. They have the Trona mines where you have hundreds of people working
200
feet, and they're drilling. And I don't know about that, but I wouldn't want to be a miner 1,500 feet underground.
No, with a honeycomb of tunnels going everywhere. Yeah. Oof.
Yeah.
You ever been to the bottom of one of those?
Huh?
You ever been to the bottom of one of those?
The Trona mines? Dozens of times.
Have
you? I've photographed, I think, all of them out there at least once. We remember when Soul Day collapsed?
Yeah.
I was there the Friday before that happened. I was down underground photographing.
I noticed one thing. I've been underground there one time. And one thing I probably should have noticed, but I did notice, and that is their vending station before you go down below the mine where they sell concessions and so on.
Okay.
It's the only place I ever saw where they had smokeless tobacco.
Oh, yeah. Because those guys can't smoke. I actually, to photograph, they require me to have, what do they call it? A monitor.
Yeah.
And I have to test before every flash. Because you can't photograph under there without a flash, and you have to test for...
Yeah, you don't want to cause an explosion.
Yeah.
Flash would be big bang, huh?
Yeah. You could get a lot of light. Yeah, one of the creepiest places they do the long
hey, just so you know, I wasn't against the project. I was against the interference of the private enterprise, and I understand. Did you guys vote it down or something?
No.
But I voted against it. No, they went in. I'm just telling you that I wasn't for it on that account.
So help me understand your concern.
Well, the concern is with the county spending $100,000, or basically $100,000, with taxpayers' equipment and people that work for the taxpayer, and the people who are in the business not getting an opportunity.
So, did you do this morning?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard. Because typically, you guys look at the project. You did it out.
Are you doing any better?
Is that not how they're doing this thing?
No. Well, it is what it is.
I just heard what that is.
And you see, yeah, the spreadsheet there with how many.
Oh, it's stupid.
How many employees?
Yeah.
You don't see that.
Yeah.
Well, I sent all the letters. Like, what were
senior
someone said in the past, they've always said they want to get on to a fiber line, too. And I just talked to them.
So I wrote it out. You
know, wait, you got to do 3 months.
No.
You need to say they'll be here and they'll tie you in.
Made this comment. There's a deer herd down by Rock Springs, and I think it's called Whiskey Mountain or some goddamn place down there. One of the finer trophy deer herds. And they said that deer herd is down 30%, and there's not an oil rig within 50 miles.
They might have had a tough winter.
Well, sometime go figure.
Yeah.
You know, it could be predators. It could, who knows what.
Yeah.
But it's,
blame the cows if there's cows grazing.
Yeah.
It's always a tendency to do
that. Well, and the thing about it is, if they've been grazing there for, you know, it goes back to the lady that called me, Burke. Her name is Burke. Let me find it here. She called me, wanted me to a quote from me about migration quarters, and I told her I couldn't give her.
Where was she from?
It was the Upper Green, but I'll find it here.
Oh, okay.
Linda Baker, not Burke.
Oh, you know her?
Nope.
Oh, I know her well.
Okay.
Everybody knows her.
How do you know her well? Why don't I know her well?
Because years ago, when she first came into the country, the guy she was shacking with rented a house for my family.
Not too far with my sister.